Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Do you notice my finger?
No. Uh-oh, got a boo-boo.
Oh, dude, I fucking clipped the hole into my index finger.
Did you sneeze? Is that what happened?
No.
Hedge trimmers.
Cutting tomatoes.
Oh.
Tomatoes. Dude, I look away for half a second. I literally, from my fingernail forward, just clipped a hole into that thing off.
Yeah.
Like there's like a quarter inch over here that was holding it. I just flapped that bitch back over and pushed on it until it quickly. And it's been, this is disgusting, but these two Band-Aids haven't come off in 2.5 days.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping to God that it stuck.
That's funny.
It fucking hurt so bad, dude. I'm in the, you know, my talent kitchen is laid out. So I'm right by the middle island sink. No one else will be talking about that's okay. And I mean, I just cut that thing and I just go, ah, fuck. And I mean, there is blood fucking everywhere. Dude, on the tomatoes, on the cutting board, on the counter. And then I'm standing there with my finger like this, just pinched shut, and I'm running water, you know, tying it off. And Janine comes in there. I was supposed to be making salsa. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, she's mad. What the fuck are you doing? I was like, bitch.
That's what sucks.
She's like, and then she realizes. Yeah. She's like, oh, fuck. Well, let's go. We're going to the hospital. I said, no, we're not. I said, this is like old HVAC wound here.
Yeah.
We're going to hold this thing here until it fucking quits bleeding, and then we're going to see
the electrical tape.
We're going to quote unquote see what happens in 3 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was great, right? We got back. No, that was fucking fun.
That's awesome.
No, it wasn't awesome.
I don't have any injuries. I have.
You have lots of problems.
Hand-eye coordination.
And your
muscle control. Bladder control on the other hand. No, I'm just...
Yo, what's those two drops in my sock? I don't really
know. Two drops in my... Just a little dribble.
It's just a little dribble. Yes, I'm wounded here. We'll see. You know what? I hadn't... Do you ever... You're not as pessimistic as I am. Like, if I go a long time without being sick, without hurting myself.
You know what's coming.
Then I know, and I'm a real, I don't know what the right word is, but jackass comes to mind.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll just start worrying about it. I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I know it's coming. What? Didn't know it was coming this time.
I'm due.
Clip that bitch off.
Yeah. I haven't been sick for a while.
It's like a little bit hit. Last year, I didn't get sick all year. It's probably been 2 years since I was sick.
Yeah.
Now I'm sick and chopped in with kingdom.
Yeah.
In fucking 3 days. Within 3 days.
You know what?
There's not a lot to your dick.
Lack of focus.
Lack of focus.
Immune systems weak.
I mean, I'm not going to say I was had been drinking, but I had maybe had a drink. See, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Everything's your
fault. 1,000%.
We all have to be accountable.
Yeah.
It's up to me
to
not be a jackass and chop my finger.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't have any injuries.
You got nothing?
No, I got nothing.
Everything's still working.
Pretty mild around this house, actually. Oh, but so before we left on the event, Mason and I went and did our first circ competition.
Oh yeah, and I saw you beat those two little kids.
Yeah,
dude, that's not good.
It's yeah,
not a good look.
So, well, Mason got beat by two kids. It ain't a 10-year-old, so.
Well, that's okay. It works that way.
Oh, it does.
Dude, so it's funny you bring that up. Janine shows me. I didn't see it on social media. She goes, hey, what the fuck is Mitch doing? That's all she said. I was like, what do you mean? She was like, well, look at this. And it's you on a podium as number one. And then number two is like a little girl. And then number three, was she a girl too? Third?
No, it was a boy.
Yeah. And she's like, what is he doing? I said, he's competing against little fucking kids.
Yeah.
I said, it makes him feel good about
himself. To be fair. So they had five different classes that you could enter into this circ competition.
Are they not age-based?
They have under 12, and then they have over 45.
Oh, you're not 45, you're 44.
And then they have beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And so if you're over 12, and I mean, if you're 13 to 44,
but
you're all in the same group.
Shit.
Yeah.
Someone needs to fucking look at, like,
you know, Yeah.
Well, they were probably also thinking, you know, this is really like a sport for kids and not grown adults.
Oh, no, no. They totally market the thing that if you can drop the rope and ride the wave, you can enter into any class you want.
I got a question.
Regardless of age.
How many guys your age were in that level of class?
Four.
How many entered total?
There were probably 100 surfers.
Oh, okay. So just four jackasses. Got it.
Yeah, so like... All the guys my age that were in my class were the same reason I was there. My kids are here. I'm trying to support my kids by joining in with them. And then, of course, the competitive nature, like, I want to win, but, like, I'm really here supporting my kid.
Are you going to do it next year?
Yeah.
Over 45?
So you can enter multiple classes.
You know, you could have just done the over 45, even though you're 44th.
Yeah, they were actually checking the ages.
At 45 years old, you couldn't be like, dude, I'm like 44 and a half.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, like, beat this 10-year-old girl and make her cry.
Yeah, I don't
know. Nope, made her cry.
But it's not my fault. They didn't have, like,
I know.
Under 30, over 30 or anything.
They definitely should have had, like, a 30 and then an over 45. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, the way this thing works, it's kind of wild. So they surf behind a brand new version of my exact boat. Okay? But
they don't have that. What's that boat above yours?
The 26 LSV is the one that's above ours.
That's brand name.
Oh.
That really, like, there's one that's super expensive.
Well, yeah, they got, like, you know, Pavatis and stuff like that. But, I mean, this is put on by the Malibu dealer.
Oh, okay.
So gotcha. You're going to be behind a Malibu or an Axis. Axis is, like, the cheap, I want to say cheap. It's the optioned down version of the Malibu.
Gotcha.
And so, you know you're going to get pulled behind a Malibu, but this is also their way to, like, brag about how awesome the surf wave is and everything else. Here's the problem. The problem is they don't dial their surf wave in very well. The wave really kind of sucked.
Oh, here we go.
And excuses are coming. Oh, no. Like, it really, like, hey, this is your one chance to, like, showcase everything, and all of your surfers are falling off the back of the wave because you don't have it built right and it's not a lot of power.
That is weird.
It is weird. And it's like, if this was, I mean, the wave is literally the keystone of the competition, aside from the surfers.
Yeah.
And now everyone got the same wave. So, like,
they did that on purpose.
I don't know. It was like your surfers would have been able to show off better if you had a more powerful wave. It so,
it mattered to them.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's just appetite.
But yeah, so they do,
kids. That's great.
They do the under 12 class first. And then another silly thing they do is they try to do, so like when we go down for the shootout, this happens in the same cove at the shootout, actually. When we go down for the shootout, all the spectators line up, they tie up along the race course.
Right. So they can see.
And so they can see. Well, they try getting all the spectators for this to tie up along the course. But it's a fucking surf boat
that's not going by.
And so
that's not good.
They got all of these $250,000 surf boats lined up and tied up together.
And now they're getting bashed against each other.
One pass. And all these boats are slamming into each other. And it's like, way.
I'm not going to say that people with surf boats don't have a brain. But as of right now, you have two bad examples.
Yeah.
They look really stupid.
And so I'm like, and we started at, they had a dock where everything was kind of anchored off of, where the surfers, that's where if you were like on deck,
there you go.
You'd stand on the dock and then they come and pick you up. Right. And so, there was a DJ on the dock and all this kind of stuff. And so, the course started just beyond the dock. And so we tied up like right at the dock thinking, okay, we're not going to get the brunt of the wave because we're at the end of the course or the beginning of the course. Well, it worked. So how this works is the course is about 60 seconds long, and you pass a start buoy, and you need to throw the rope at about the time you pass the start buoy, and that's when your scoring starts. There's a halfway buoy, and then there's an end buoy. And so if you make it past the halfway buoy, if you fall before the halfway buoy, the towboat will turn around and pick you up. And you get to continue on. If you fall after the halfway buoy, a jet ski picks you up and takes you to the far end of the course, and you get your return run.
Gotcha.
That's it. It's one run down, one run back, and it's done. So 2 minutes at most. If you don't fall, you have 2 minutes to show off all the skills you got. And so we set up for the tie-up. We were two boats from the end. We tried to be the end boat, but people kept piling up on the end. So we were two boats from the end. The one that was actually on the end was a big, like, 50-foot yacht.
Nice.
Which is not smart to have next to a wake boat because the tower wants to slam into the side of the yacht, right? And so one wake boat goes down, and because of the way the wave comes off the boat and everything else, we were good. It's like, yeah, cool. Well, it comes back, and then the surfer didn't fall, and so they basically kept their surf wave all the way through the end of the course.
Yeah.
And that's all it took was that one wave, and I'm like, we're getting out of here. And so we went and tied up behind the start. Like, we were at the end of the course instead of along the side of it.
Yeah.
So we had no waves.
Dude, I'm way too, I'm anal as fuck.
Yeah.
Not in a, never. If my fucking $200,000 boat is slamming into someone else's,
yeah,
getting beat to shit, I'm losing my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I'm out, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I am fucking leaving.
Yeah, we just, well, and it didn't help too that some other boats showed up and nobody else threw an anchor, and so like everyone was trying to hang off our anchor. And I'm like, no, this ain't working
here. So guys, damn.
Yeah, but so we moved and we were all good. It was a long hot day. It was like 105 degrees. Real temp was like 105.
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah,
it was. I didn't go outside for like 2 days here.
Yeah, I got heat rash because it was so hot
on the balls.
No, like, for me, heat rash is like a billion little tiny pimples show up on my chest.
Yeah, real heat rash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shows up, like, the next day. It doesn't show up the day of. But,
he gets that shit.
It's too hot.
Yeah, it's wild. But, so the under 12 kids go, and they have a blast and everything else, and then the beginners go, and we don't know what we're doing, right? And they tell you before the course, or, like, before you're signing up, they tell you, like, okay, beginners are probably doing these kind of tricks. Intermediates are probably doing these kind of tricks. And experts are doing these kind of tricks.
Yeah.
Okay? And so that kind of helps you decide what class to go in. Well, the difference between the beginners and the intermediates was the intermediates can do 360s and the beginners can't. Well, I landed a 360 in like 18 months.
Yeah.
And so like I was able to do 360s last year, early last year.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to do them all later last year, and they still have not landed one this year. Okay. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do the beginner class because I can't do 360s.
Yeah.
And so Mason joins the intermediate class because he can do 360s. He can do it really well back to back to back. And so he does that one. And I go first, which is kind of cool because I got to give Mason all the insight. And we had other friends with us. We had another friend with us that was in the expert class. And so I got to give them all the insight of like how the wave feels and all of this stuff so they could be prepared for it.
Yeah.
And so I end up falling after the halfway buoy on my run out there.
Oh, bummer.
And the whole first 50% of the run out there on the first run. So when you're, if you don't wake surf, when you're getting ready to do a trick, you fall back in the wave and then you'll drive forward in the wave and get some speed to do your trick. Well, this wave was so soft in the back, I fell back in the wave and almost fell off the back of the wave. Not like fell over off my board, but like
yeah.
Lost all the power and just sunk down into the water.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, there is no power back here, right? And so then I waste a quarter of the course just trying to get back up in the wave. And so then I go, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to go back that far. And so I go up and I do one little tiny trick. And then every time you do a trick, you lose some inertia and you go back in the wave.
Yeah.
So I do this one tiny little trick.
And you're a big guy.
And I'm a big guy. And so I do this one tiny little trick, and I fall back in the wave, and I spend the entire time trying to get back in the wave. So now we're a quarter of the way through my run. I've just passed the 50 mark, the 50% buoy on the way out, and I've only done one trick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I gotta get my shit in gear. And so I go to try to do another trick, and I fall.
Oh.
And so the jet ski picks me up, and so far halfway through the run now.
Yeah, one.
I've done one trick, and that's it. And it's like, all right, I gotta fucking get my shit together here real quick. And so I'm like, I'm not going back in the wave at all. Everything I'm doing is in the front half of the wave, and I'm just not going to carry much speed. And I told Mason, I'm like, watch, I'm going to try to do a 360 like at the very end and just see if I land it. And for all I know, if I do land it, they may boot me up to the intermediate class. I don't know, but like, we're just going to try. I'm just having fun. And so I do every trick I can. I'm just like spam, 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 spam tricks. And then we get to the very end and I try to do a 360 and I eat shit royally. And I mean, like eat shit royally. And so,
that probably helped you. They were like, ah, okay.
He tried. Yeah.
She does suck ass.
But, so I get back and I give Mason and Derek all the feedback about the wave and everything else. And so they were better prepared. And so Mason already knew, like, he didn't have to waste a quarter of his run trying to figure out the wave. He already knew where it was, but he ended up falling as well. But he fell before the 50, the halfway mark. And so the boat turns around and picks him up. And, so, you know, all said and done, somehow I took first in the beginner class. And where we were at, I couldn't see any of the other beginners. So I don't know how.
They were just getting up and cruising to the end.
Probably just big carbs and everything. Like, that's really all it was. It's like, if you can drop the rope and just carve nice and smooth, you can enter in the beginner class.
Oh,
you probably won't win.
You know what? Next year, I'm in.
Do it.
Beginner class.
Seriously.
Oh, I'll be over 45.
Yeah. Do that one, too. You can do two classes. But,
just getting on that fucking bed.
You know, I can do a fair amount of tricks for not being able to do a 360. And so Mason goes and does his run. He lands like five 360s in his run. And he's doing all of it. Like, he's got some good tricks and he's doing them all. Well, there were two girls there that are like 8 and 10. They drove up from Texas. They're sponsored by Axis. Axis provides them a boat.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Why aren't they in the expert level?
They weren't in the expert level because the expert level, the big differences between the intermediate and the expert was transfers, where they make the wave go from the right side of the boat to the left side of the boat and you jump over with it. Mm. So transfers were on the expert level. And then shoves, they call it a shove, but it's where you jump off the board and either. A shove is where you jump off the board and spin the board 180 degrees and then land back on it and you don't move. Or, I think they call it a vert or a revert, where you jump off the board stays where it is, and you do a 180 and land back on it. And so,
They're not probably big enough to go across.
They do. The girls do.
Damn.
Yeah. So, ironically, they increased their skills like within the 2 days. I follow these girls on Facebook, and I follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, Creeper got it.
No, they're just fun, inspirational family. But I followed them on Facebook. Like, I was surprised to see them there. I didn't know they were coming to this thing. Then they show up, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're going to smoke the expert class, and turns out they were in the intermediate class. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Well, their dad was the boat driver.
Shit.
For all the surfers. The mom was organizing everybody on the staging dock.
Yeah.
And so I was chatting up with the mom the whole time. I was more or less trying to find out the in on, like, how do you get sponsored by Axis? Because I'm trying to get Malibu or Axis to
buy you a new boat.
Well, no, I'm trying to get them to sponsor Boys Night. Like, even if it's much as 50 or 100 bucks a week for Boys Night, just cover the fuel.
The ass is killing you right now.
Yeah. So, because that boat burns like 9 gallons an hour when you're surfing.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of fucking fuel, dude.
Yeah, it's 30 gallons of fuel every boys' night. So at 450 a gallon.
Oh, my God.
So, but anyway, so chatted up with them. Turns out they're in the intermediate class. Those girls actually end up coming over. We had a water pad out and everything else. The girls ended up hanging out on our boat for like an hour. And then their session got up, so they had to go out and surf. And then come to find out, Mason took third place right behind those two girls. Those two girls podium first and second, and Mason took third. There's two ways to look at it. One is you can look at it butthurt and be like, well, they sandbagged, they should have got first, which is not a wrong way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, dude, you placed right behind two sponsored surfers.
Yeah.
Like, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So. The only challenge is the people who got first got a $1,000 surfboard.
You got a $1,000 surfboard?
Yep. And so
did you say it to a poor family that didn't have a surfboard? How'd you keep that?
I
donated it to the lack of brown kids on my boat.
You didn't socialism that borderline?
Yeah. So Mason's a little butthurt that he lost an opportunity for a $1,000 surfboard.
Give you $2,000.
No.
He's just a little spoiled and doesn't realize it.
Yeah.
Oh, we know it. So you and I know.
But even though I took first and I got the board and everything else, like, I still say Mason's accolades were far better than mine. Because the beginner class is a total fucking wild west crapshoot.
100% true. You beat up on little kids. So, yeah.
I beat up on adults, too, damn it.
To the four adults.
Just because those adults didn't land on the podium doesn't mean I didn't kick their ass, too.
No, I mean, look, I love you. You beating up all little kids.
Hey, they got to age bracket this shit better.
I agree with that.
Next year I'll be in the intermediate class and in the over 45 class.
Yeah.
My goal is actually to be good enough to run the expert class.
No, you should do that. You jump close.
Oh, no. No. I've done it. I've done it with the rope a lot. I've done it without the rope across the wake and back once. So,
we'll see.
Yeah.
As long as it's fun, dude.
It was a blast. It was cool. So,
before we get into the tickets,
yeah. So, here's what's quietly killing your cash flow in the trades businesses. The job's done, the customer's happy. And a week later, the invoice is still sitting in somebody's grass. That's your money, parked. Well, Field Pulse fixes that. The invoice goes out the second the job closes, right from the field. Before the truck pulls away, the customer pays on the spot with a credit card or online, so the cash shows up when the work is done, not next week. If you're tired of chasing money, check out Field Pulse. Through the end of August, they're running a deal for 20% off plus 50% off premium support for the year. So head over to the link for Field Pulse in the description of this show. And when you ask, or when they ask how you heard about them, make sure to tell them that you heard about them. Call them.
Boom.
So, yeah. What are we talking about today, Dave?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, good thing I do.
Yeah, no shit.
So
for those of you that aren't regular listeners, Mitch sometimes just surprises us with talk.
Yeah.
He says, we're going to talk about this. That's all you
get. You just get to deal with it.
And you just get to deal with it. So, to be honest, that's how I like it.
Today, we're going to talk about you can't buy success in business. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you won't have to pay to earn success in the future, but you can't buy it. It takes more than purchasing it. Okay? So, I know business owners that have spent up to $100,000 on coaching. They've attended every conference, every mastermind. They bought every online course. They got a book full of, or a shelf full of books. And yet 5 years later, their business is largely in the same place it was before. And then I know other people that bought one course one time. They implemented every lesson from the course. They got punched in the mouth a dozen times through the implementation process, didn't give up, kept going, and it completely transformed their business. The difference wasn't the information. The difference is the execution. We have a Tradewinds member that joined Tradewinds. And as he joined, he says, I got $30,000 left in my bank account. Best way I see it, I got 2 to 3 months left before I got to close up for bankruptcy. He says, I'm your last resort. Hopefully you guys can fix me. So we join Tradewinds, and we tell them straight up, you're going to have to do everything we say to do, no matter how uncomfortable it is, because you got no other options. Within 3 months, and he did exactly everything he said, everything we told him to do. He applied every lesson. Within 3 months, he was doing $200,000 a month in revenue. So
yep.
It all comes down to the execution. Okay? So today, we're talking about a truth that most coaches and influencers and mentors don't tell you out loud. Nothing works until you do. You have to do the work. We just came home from the event last week. Tradewinds members met up down in Florida. It was a 50-50 event. 50% work, 50% play.
He's fucking awesome.
We worked from 7 a.m. until noon. And then from noon until whenever, we played. We were on a beach or on the water. Or summary. It was cool. Okay. But Everything that people learn from that event, myself and yourself included, everything that people learn means nothing unless they execute on it when they get home. It means nothing unless they execute on it on their laptop while they're there, right? Yep. And so in today's era, the information's out there. You can learn anything on the internet for free. Yep. You can learn sales. You can learn marketing. You can learn leadership, accounting. You can learn AI. You can learn hiring. You can learn systems. It's free. Somebody at dinner and buy some of their time.
It's not free. You're paying with it. With your time. When you spend money at coaching, you're buying time. Mm-hmm. It's essentially what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're getting bulk information slammed at you as fast as humanly possible, and then it's your job to initiate.
Yeah.
You're just paying for time. When I think of you can't buy your way into success, I know two guys specifically, and I'm not going to get us off track and get right back.
Yeah.
Two guys specifically that had an influx of cash, one from an investor, one from a father. Three vans, four vans, five vans, shop, employees, everything. Burned $600,000. One of them burned $600,000 in a year and a half. The other one burned almost $1 million.
Yeah.
They weren't working. They thought, oh, quote unquote, I have the infrastructure. I have made it.
Yeah.
Pissed away more money than I've seen anyone personally.
Yeah.
Piss away in less than 2 years, the both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what happened? Dad was pissed. Investors were pissed. Lost all the employees. They lost the turnover of those companies, as you can imagine. It ends at.
Yeah.
Had to sell all the vans.
Oh, yeah.
Had to sell the shops off. I mean, it was fucking. And you know what you can do with that kind of money?
Yeah.
And it was all because of lack of effort, lack of earning it, lack of putting in the work.
Yeah.
They're the fucking sad, dude.
Yeah.
Sad.
Dude, YouTube.
I think you know one. Well, we'll talk about it after the show. I think you know one.
Probably. YouTube alone carries more business knowledge than entire universities carried 50 years ago. But yet, business failure rates have remained largely the same over that same 50-year period.
Yeah.
Why? Because knowledge isn't the bottleneck.
Nope.
It's execution.
Yep.
So.
Effort, bro.
Effort. Most business owners don't need another notebook full of ideas. They need another month of solid action.
Yeah.
So we recently did a leadership course with members of Tradewinds. We're thinking about offering it to the public as well. It was a 10-week course. And it was a very pragmatic approach to turning you into a good leader over 10 weeks. And each course built upon the previous course. And in the most common leadership hurdles you were going to cross happens in course one. And so that way you're going to use the principles that allow you to cross those hurdles through the entire program. But every week you were going to build upon that and build upon that and build upon that.
Yeah.
And
it was a great idea by you, by
the way. The people that did that course properly are now better leaders than before. But the people that bought the course showed up to the things, to the meetings or watched the recordings, but then never put in the work and never challenged themselves to do the congruent steps.
Yeah, they wiped their ass with money.
They wasted 10 hours of their time because it was a 1-hour course every week for 10 weeks. So they wasted 10 hours of their time and they wasted the money on the course, and they're no better leaders than they were before they signed up for the course, right? And so, and I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying that's what would happen with anything.
It's reality.
Right. That's like paying for golf lessons, but then not doing the work outside of the lessons to work on your swing.
Yeah.
You got one coaching session a week, but you're not going to go to the driving range two or three additional times a week and just drill down on the one thing that the coach taught you that week.
Golf lessons is a great analogy.
Yeah.
That's how those programs are built. You go, you learn, and then you're supposed to execute 2 to 3 sessions on your own and then come back.
Yeah.
Guitar lessons are the same thing.
Guitar is the same way.
You go, you learn, okay, your scale progressions for this week aren't this.
Yeah.
You've got to work on. You come back the next lesson, he's like, okay, let's see what you learned. Why didn't you do it?
I got tablature for Stairway to Heaven.
Well, then why the fuck are you even coming to these lessons?
Right.
Dude, I'm guilty about that. I'll be like, I'm going to learn this song, blah, blah, blah. I'm all excited. I print the fucking shit off or I'm looking at it online. And I'll work on it 2-3 days. You know, I'm going to work on it a half hour every day. Work on it, and then I just I learned it just enough to not be great at it.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, I'll get to it later.
Yep.
Next thing you know, a month has gone by. It's like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. But like with golf, a $600 club can't fix a $6 swing.
Oh, man, they think they can.
Right? And so the golf thing is a great analogy, because how many people go out there and buy clubs that are way out of their skill level thinking, this is going to fix my game. I don't want to dedicate the time, effort, and the energy to fix my game. I'm just going to buy the fix. Yeah. Right?
It's impossible. That's not how it works.
Well, guess what? Those clubs are amazing. And there are amazing coaches out there. There's amazing lessons. There's amazing courses. There's amazing books. But if you don't apply what you're learning and you don't make yourself do the uncomfortable thing, then you're never going to grow.
Nope.
So I know I use gym analogies a lot. But like if you want to grow a muscle.
It's a good way to. It's a good app.
Yeah. If you want to grow a muscle, you literally have to work the muscle to the point of failure.
Yeah.
Several times. And then you have to feed that muscle the right nutrients so that as it restores itself, it's got the right nutrients to not only restore itself, but restore itself
slightly bigger.
Right? And so, I'm obviously no bodybuilder or anything else, but I've spent enough time in the gym to know when I'm just phoning it in or when I'm actually growing in the gym.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no, like, I'll say this, there's no worse workout than the workout that you skipped. But the second to worst workout is the workout where you walk out of the gym knowing I didn't give it my all and I just phoned it in.
Dude, to be honest,
I was wasting my fucking time.
I'd say that one's worse, because not only did you fucking...
That was defeating.
You got up early and went.
Yeah.
Wasted money on nutrients, wasted your time, it did nothing. You'd been better off sitting at home.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, unfortunately, what causes all this is comfort. Most owners aren't actually looking for information. They're just looking for permission to avoid discomfort is what it all is. I said this before on the show. I can always tell how serious somebody is about solving a problem based off of how many different people they ask.
Yeah.
Right? If you're asking repetitively, how would you solve this problem? How would you solve this problem? How would you solve this problem? Especially if it's a low-level question.
Yeah.
You don't actually want to solve the problem. You're just looking for somebody to give you a passive excuse for a way that's easier for you to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Sometimes you got to take the stairs.
Yeah.
Because the escalator broke.
Yeah.
Right.
People just don't understand. You ask that first person. Well, I only got one person's opinion. No, technically you got two.
Yeah.
Because you had the way you thought it should be done and someone else's. Fucking decide and run with it.
Right.
If it fails, ask another.
Yeah.
People, paralysis by analysis. I know we say that a lot on the show. Dude, it is a real thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes the more information you have, the more frozen you become because you're afraid to act at that point.
Yeah.
Dude, ask two people and roll with one.
Yeah. Dude,
fuck it up.
So many people are afraid to fail and they act like the failures, like a life sentence.
Yeah.
The failure is.
I'll never bounce back from this.
Right. Like nobody in life truly fails. Right. But also, if it takes you longer to try to decide the perfect answer than it does to just, I've got two ways to go. I'm going to go with one. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to go with the other. Then do the latter. Just learn.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it this way. If it doesn't work, cool. Then we're going to go this way.
Yeah.
Done. Now I know which way was the right way.
I bought a lesson.
Right. I don't need to look professional. So many people think they look as studious and look professional by like, you know, I'm going to ask this person this question. I want them to know that I'm thinking about this. And it's like, no, but that's embarrassing. Yeah. You should just do it. And then you should do it and then go to that same person and be like, hey, I thought I could do it this way. And I was wrong. I fucked it up big time. So I did it this way.
Hey, man, help me here.
Yeah.
I fucked it up.
Yeah.
What do I do?
So that's just part of it. Right?
Yeah. Don't be failures. Trying something and fail.
I mean, if you strike out in baseball, strike out or fly out in baseball, 70% of the time, you are a Hall of Fame baseballer.
Baseballer?
Or, is that a right term?
Ball player.
Okay.
Come on. Mitch doesn't follow the sports ball as much. He likes the football. I like football.
But you're right. So, like, you know, sports is a great analogy for this because how much time do they spend practicing versus actually performing? And then you go to the business world and it's perform, 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 perform for 28 days out of the month.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe a quarter of one day out of the month, it's like, oh, I got to practice.
Yeah.
Dude, you're never going to get better. Ever. Right. And there's nothing worse in business than watching a guy carry 5 years of experience for an additional 15 years and then try to say he's got 20 years of experience when he really only has five. Yeah. He's just milked it for an additional 15. Right. So the idea of like buying another course or listening to another podcast or watching another YouTube, yeah, it feels productive. But those things don't require risk.
Yeah.
And so you're out nothing other than doom scrolling time.
Yeah. Dude, people are bad about that with books.
Yeah.
Well, I read 10 books. What did you enact from those books? Did they tell you two things?
Yeah.
Like, dude, the books aren't helping you.
Yeah.
Against like reading books to get better. I think it works.
Yeah.
But you have to enact what you learn from the books. The 10 books on the shelf you read don't mean dick.
Yeah.
You didn't implement anything from them.
Yeah. So many people, instead of hiring another salesperson, they'll watch another hiring webinar. Instead of raising their prices, they'll buy a course on how to price your services.
Yeah.
Instead of firing the toxic employee, they join a mastermind and try to learn how to turn them around. Instead of making sales calls, they redesign their logo instead. They think, oh, we need a rebrand.
Oh, my rebrand.
Right?
Fuck.
So
yes.
They discuss productive procrastination is literally what they're doing. They're acting productive while actively procrastinating in other areas. So sometimes education becomes the most sophisticated form of procrastination.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'm not ready yet. I don't know enough yet. Well, you won't fucking know.
Well, yeah, to your point, though, it does make them feel better because they do want that dopamine hit.
Right.
But then they don't act because they're afraid.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
In layman's terms.
One of the coolest videos from Gary Vee is he's at some speaking engagement where he's taking questions from the crowd. And there's this very enamored fella in the crowd. He's got a big smile on his face. He's happy to be able to ask Gary a question. And he asks a fairly low-level question, but it's a very common question. And some of those things, I've been at speaking events where people can line up and ask the speaker questions. And some of these questions are so fucking dumb. They're like just coming up with anything so they can stand at a microphone and feel like I'm having a conversation with this
person. Well, they signed up to do it and then couldn't think of anything good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or somebody else asked their question. And instead of admirably listening to when somebody else asked it, like if your goal was to get this question answered, if somebody else asked your question, you should have tuned into the answer and then stepped out of line because you got your question answered. Right?
Dude, next event, if you're speaking, question.
Do it. I'm game. I'm totally game.
I know you are.
But this enamored fella gets up and he asks Gary a question and he says, how do I know that this person that I'm getting ready to hire, and Gary cuts him off right there. And Gary just says, you don't.
Yeah.
And then like silence falls across the room and Gary's like, you don't know shit about the person you're getting ready to hire. And so then he stops and instead of answering that, he realizes this is something the whole crowd needs to learn.
Yeah.
And he says, the problem with hiring, everyone thinks there's this great skill in hiring. There is no skill to hiring people. The skill is in firing people. People can lie on resumes. People can fake interviews. People can fake experience. The skill is actually recognizing that fast and early on and getting them out of there as quick as possible.
The learnable, controllable aspect of that is,
there
are 0.5% of the population can read someone and go, this person's lying to me right now, I know.
Yeah.
But that's something that's just innate. You can't learn that.
No.
But the skill you can learn is how to recognize that you've hired a fuck-up and to fire them quickly. That's a learnable skill.
And so Gary closes that thing out. He says, the problem with most business owners is they have their ego tied up in their hiring and in their firing. And they're reluctant to fire somebody because that would mean not only admitting to the office, but admitting to themselves they made a bad hire.
Yeah.
And then Gary tells a story about that.
No one wants to be a failure, man. It's just real life.
He hired somebody at a six-figure level, and he fired him 3 days later in his head. He didn't actually fire him until like 3 or 6 months later.
Wow, person.
And he was like, biggest mistake I've ever made when firing somebody.
Yeah,
I should have fired him in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yep. And so we all have those gut instincts. We all have that stuff, and our gut is usually correct, right? And so I'm a fan of hire fast, fire fast when it comes to that stuff. I'm going to hire you based off of what you say in the interview, but then I'm going to fire you based off of your ability to back up everything you promised in the interview.
Yeah.
And how many times do you see somebody, oh, I'm good at this, oh, I'm good at this, oh, I'm good at this, and then they join the team, and it's like they're fumbling through everything they said they were good at.
Yeah.
So you pull them aside, you call them out, you say, hey, you said you were good at this. Well, it's just different here. Okay, what's different? And you either make them lay it out or admit that they were wrong, right? And then you got to go because
the new construction spaces, that's how that was. Remember when we were younger. Dude, guys would come in, oh, I could rough in the house 3 days, and I could do this, and I could do that. You take them out to a job, and you drop them off, and you're not even expecting the same performance that everyone else has given.
Yeah.
But then you come back 2 days later, or at the end, the first day, you look around, you go, fuck.
Yeah.
But you knew.
Dude, I just saw.
You knew. Like, this guy, he literally lied to me.
I just saw a video last night talking about it was like a mini documentary style video talking about the rise and fall of car clubs in Southern California. And it was really cool.
Turn, I like it.
No.
I really love cars. Continue.
This is like right up your and I's genre. So if you were born in the 80s or 90s, early 90s,
yeah,
or before, and you were into cars, you joined car clubs.
Yeah.
You had car friends. You had car groups of people.
You cruised hell on road.
Yeah. You cruised. You did your things, right? You would show up in people's driveway and wrench on cars together. Why? Because we didn't have the internet to learn how to solve problems.
Yeah, what do you think about this?
We had a Chilton's manual.
Fuck yeah, bro.
And, and we had buddies with ideas. And that was literally the resource to solve problems with our cars.
Dude, Chilton's manual was not on my bingo card. And three of them still on the shelf.
Yeah, I've still got one in the garage.
I love it. Yes.
And so now car clubs largely kind of ceased to exist because the core foundation that brought car clubs together was the need for overlapping knowledge and general camaraderie. Well, now they don't need the knowledge from the car clubs because they can get it from ChatGPT. And they don't need the camaraderie because they can get that from Snapchat and Instagram.
Yeah.
Right?
And they just go on cruises.
And so then they go drive by themselves, post their story, and their camaraderie is all the likes and reactions and shares of their content.
Damn, don't take the ass one out tonight. I can feel it fucking.
Yeah. And so now, I'm not chastising the people for doing this. I'm just saying, which is it?
That's the natural escalation of where things are.
Right.
Yeah.
So like I was big into motorcycles growing up, right? And we would try to hang out. Like, I always liked riding with groups of people because it was actually safer when it came to legal and illegal activities.
Well, not only that, because they see you coming. You don't get a one-off slam, a car slam. You don't get a pack.
We would go out in groups and we would do hooligan shit. But if...
Allegedly.
No, we absolutely did.
Okay. You know what? If you get this address, it just messaged me. Yeah. I'll send it to you.
But it was kind of the zebra mentality, right? The pack mentality of... They can't pull us all over. And so if you're riding in a group of people and the cops arrive,
just don't have a
250. There's strength in numbers.
Yeah. Don't have a 250 or pop.
Or don't crash.
Or right? Don't
crash. A guy who's crashed is always good fun.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Bobby Mata.
Dude, I love Bobby.
He
still lives around here.
Yeah, he and I were riding together one day and he crashed.
Oh,
and I had to leave him.
And because the cops
the helicopter was out.
Oh, shit.
They were on us. And he was the one who decided to run. We were doing some hooligan shit. The cop showed up behind us. And I look at him and I'm like, what do you want to do? And he didn't even answer. He just dropped out of gear and took off.
Bobby.
And I'm like, all right, I guess we're running.
I guess we're running.
And so like 4 blocks later, he ate shit in the corner. His bike almost took me out. And so I kind of kicked his bike off of me, drove around the corner. And I stopped for a minute because I know the cops are catching up with him. I stopped for a minute and the fucking helicopter's overhead. It was the fastest I've ever made it from downtown Kansas City to my house. I'll tell you that.
And first off, bro, like no one ever says, why didn't you come back for me? They're like,
oh, no, he knew.
They're like, hey, did you get away?
Yeah.
Okay, good, Steven.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's
the first thing I did was I get stashed the bike in the garage. I called the friend group and I'm like, we got to go bail Bobby out.
Yeah. Hey, he's got 10 bucks. We got to chip in here.
And then the friend group was like, you can chip in, but you're not going because you are on the motorcycle. We'll handle this. I mean, that's how, that's the friend group.
You guys had a pretty tight
group. We had a pretty tight group.
Yeah.
But like that rise and fall, there's a generational gap there. And a lot of owners, if you were born in the 80s and the 90s, a lot of owners have this idea of like, I don't need to know how to do it. Just give me 2.5 days and I'll figure it the fuck out.
Yeah, you and I are definitely like that.
Well, your newer guys don't have that, right?
No.
There was a business idea that you and I had, and you didn't think it would work, and I thought it did, and you didn't want to put the time and effort and energy into trying to see if it would work. And so I just went old school, and in 2.5 days, I did it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's still up, and it's functioning.
You got any metrics on that?
I don't think we do.
I'm freed up now. So
yeah. But like,
my bandwidth is open.
It was a new thing that David and I were trying that we were going to be able to offer people, and I'm running it in my business right now, and we're seeing if it's going to work. But that's a prime example of that thing. Like, okay, I'm not getting the support I need. Just give me 2.5 days, and I'll do it my fucking self.
Yeah,
right. And
sometimes you got to tell your friend, like, dude, you just got to figure it out for a while.
Well, so yeah.
I would tell you here.
And that doesn't mean there's hard feeling. Like, you don't resent the person for not helping you or anything else. It's just, that's just our nature. It's like, when we're that convinced something's going to work, we're either going to get the resources or we're going to figure the fuck out.
To your point from before, yeah. Like, the guys now, they're just built different.
Yeah.
Just don't see things that way.
Yeah. You know? And so if you're doing this with business, you know, businesses don't outgrow their owners.
No.
Owners either grow or the business stops. It's just that simple. Like, every level of business ownership demands a different version of the owner. If you own a $300,000 a year business, you are not the same person that you will be owning a $3 million a year business.
No.
You have to be a completely different person. You behave differently. You wake up at different times. You think differently. Your emotions are different. And that level of character difference applies to your entire life, not just your business. Your marriage is different if you own a $300,000 a year business versus a $3 million a year business. Your marriage is probably better, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because you're paying attention to the small details.
Yeah.
You're not letting anything sweep under.
You know, right? A lot guys get stuck at a plateau, and it's usually, you know, money specific, but the plateau is almost always because they refuse to grow.
Yes.
Or change.
Yeah.
And it is a very difficult thing to look yourself in the mirror after you've been successful, mm-hmm. and go, hey, you aren't good enough the way you are right now to get to the next level.
Yeah.
So you have to change.
And you're telling yourself that.
You're telling yourself that.
Yeah.
You're saying, okay, right now, where I'm at, all of the success, all of the greatness, I'm a bad motherfucker, is not good enough
right.
to get to the next level. And you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. You have to make yourself learn new things.
Yep.
And not only learn new things, but think about things in a different manner to get to the next level. And that's why a lot of guys, when they get to that first or second plateau, can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not that the work's not there. It's not that they're not smart enough. It's that they're not willing to change who they are to
yep.
get there. We talk yep. about, Mitch and I talk about it sidebar in TradeWinds a lot of, okay, this guy's at this plateau or whatever. How do we get past it? I don't think he's going to be able to do it.
Yeah. A lot of the conversation comes down to, does he have, he or she, do they possess the character traits to get to the next level?
Yeah.
Like, half of David and I's job in coaching is not giving people the information. It's giving them the courage to step out of their comfort zone and become the person they need to be.
Yeah. And listen, sometimes if they're not going to make it to that next plateau, that's okay. They can run that business the way it is and be extremely successful at that level.
Yep.
But they have to either realize, I'm going to stay here and this is my niche and this is where I'm at.
Yep.
And I'm going to focus all my energy here and grow it at this level. But I'm not going to move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Because then not only are they comfortable, but they're able to focus their attention where they're at and
yep.
have this back and forth of, can I get there? Can I, you know, whatever. The guys that we see that literally will say, oh, no, we're going to do this. We don't even see them. We don't even hear them complain about that first plateau.
Yeah.
They just fucking roll on.
Yeah.
They're like, nope, I had to do this, this, and this. I had to cut this motherfucker. I had to change all my marketing from here to here. And like, sometimes it's a surprise to us.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I haven't seen this guy in 2 months. Holy fuck, what happened?
Yeah.
And it's because they were willing to accept.
He just got tired of being the old bottleneck. Yep.
They were able to put themselves into a difficult situation and say, nope, I got to do things different.
Yeah.
They just fucking did it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Bravo, man.
Right.
Nice work.
Yeah. The examples of the progression in the trades business is like the technician will one day become the manager. The manager will one day become a leader. The leader will one day become a visionary or a business owner. But every promotion costs them their old identity. Yeah. You can't be a manager of technicians with the identity of a technician.
Yeah.
You can't be a visionary with the identity of a leader within a business. Right?
Yeah.
One thing I want to point out on that is I'd say the manager must become the leader. There's a difference between management and leadership. And I think a lot of people don't recognize that. Management is using numbers to verify, did we achieve objectives or did we not? Okay. In other words, my guys should be converting at 70% conversion and they should have a $1,250 average ticket. And managing is putting systems in place to recognize, are we achieving those numbers or not?
Yeah.
Leadership is when the numbers aren't being met, how do we pull the guy forward? Yeah. So management and leadership are two different things. Management is all about people and outcome. Management is all about outcomes. Leadership is all about people.
Yeah.
So, but
they're two different strengths in a boat.
Yeah. Your business will rarely outperform the person running it. And if it ever does outperform the person running it, it won't do it for long. Okay. People can get lucky. They can grab a big contract. They can work over their head for a little while. But if the person doesn't grow into that position very quickly, 2.5 days, if the person doesn't grow into that position very quickly, then the business won't run beyond the capabilities of the leader. So what do all these things actually have to do with things, though? Like masterminds. Masterminds, I'm not bashing on masterminds. Masterminds are incredible if you're already executing at a high level.
And they're inspirational, too.
They're very inspirational. You can get a lot of ideas.
Lean inspiration off of those.
They can help you. Like, if you're already executing at a good level, then you go into a mastermind with so many people go into a mastermind thinking it's success by osmosis.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, you are the sum of your 5 closest friends. And so I'm going to pick 5 millionaire friends. Well, if I don't eventually start behaving like them, for one, they're probably going to ostracize me. But for two, I'll never be like them if I can't kick the habits that they've kicked long ago.
Yeah.
Right. And so the masterminds help you avoid mistakes, see blind spots. They help you gain accountability, build relationships. They shorten the learning curve. They help you fail faster, right? If I try it one way and I failed, and you try it one way and failed, and the third person tries it a way and it's successful, and the three of us share that information with a fourth person, the fourth person knows exactly how to do it right.
Yeah.
Right? And so that is masterminding. That's what that is by definition, okay? But masterminds cannot wake up early for you. Masterminds cannot make the hard phone calls. Masterminds cannot make you get disciplined with your spending in your business. They can't confront employees. They can't sell your services for you. And they can't have the difficult conversations. Okay?
Yeah.
You have to do all of that. So buying into a mastermind is like buying premium fuel for your car. Premium fuel won't make a jack shit of difference if the engine broke. Right?
It won't make a jack shit of difference if you ain't pushing that motherfucker.
Right. Yeah.
We're
not buying premium fuel to idle around town.
Yeah. It's the race car thing again.
Right. Yeah.
I can put Octane Plus in here.
Yeah.
To really push that thing another half second. But if I don't take it to the racetrack, it really don't matter.
Right.
If I'm just driving around town, why would I even spend my money on it?
Right.
It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. So another great way to look at this is like you hire a personal trainer. They can give you all the advice, but they can't do the push-ups for you.
No.
And if anything, if they do the push-ups for you, they're the ones growing, not you.
Yeah.
Right? So those who do the work see the growth.
I'm scared to death of poking. I've literally thought about it.
Yeah.
To see if, like, full transparency, side tangent, I'm in the worst shape I've ever been.
Yeah.
And it's not bad shape. Because I've always taken really good care of myself.
Yep.
But I don't have to be in the field anymore. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to give myself a break. But I know the time is coming where I'm going to have to be like, okay, I got to get back to who I am.
Yep.
And so I've been thinking, like, personal trainer is probably going to be the best. Because sometimes I need someone to whip my ass a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm scared to death, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to be crying.
Dude, I was running. I was running.
In a little while. Yeah, you do. Your cardio
stuff. Well, that's why. I was like, I'm going to get my cardio back in shape. And you want to talk about some sobering moments. So I go up to Adams Dairy where it's flat.
Yeah.
And
you used to run that all the time.
Well, I used to walk it all the time. To burn fat, I would walk. But running actually burns less fat than walking. So
no, but it ups your cardio.
Well,
your heart muscle's stronger, your lungs are stronger.
Yes. Yeah, but it
puts your body looks different.
Yeah, it puts your heart rate at a high enough level where you're no longer burning stored fat.
You're burning everything
your body's got. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go run 3 miles.
And if I tried to run 3 miles, I'd be dead.
And so I'm doing, like, the first time I ran 3 miles, it took me like 48 minutes.
Holy shit.
I'm not shitting.
You walked a lot of 3 miles.
Oh, there's a lot of walk. Dude, I'm
not pointing
stitch fingers. Stitch pains, can't breathe. Yeah. Like, I'm,
I'd be the same
when I'm running, I look like I'm freaking carrying a wounded soldier. Like, I'm just,
you're about to die.
So anyway, I got it down to where I could run 3 miles in like 37 minutes.
Still shit?
Still shit, but I mean, great. That's 10 minutes of progress.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
And I felt just as miserable doing it at 37 minutes as I did at 48.
Yeah.
Okay? But then I started realizing that the outcome from running that I was trying to get, I didn't actually want that outcome. And so I'm like, all right,
But you were thinking of, like, the outcome I want is time, but the outcome you really want was good cardio.
Well, I was trying to burn fat, and then I started doing more research into, like, I spent quite a few years trying to put some muscle on. I'm going to run my muscle off if I'm not careful. And so that doesn't mean I completely abandoned running, but I'm not going to do it every day like I kind of wanted to.
Yeah.
You don't see you don't see anybody with, like, a wrestling style build that runs.
No.
Right. They're all very lean. Very long.
Yeah. All of the best Navy SEALs, the Rangers,
yeah,
they're lean and they're toned, and then they can carry that fucking AR-10 for 5 miles when the World Cup switch button.
But
you know what? Maybe we better get on our fucking cardio.
Yeah.
The PT is the thing that kills you.
But you wanna talk about personal discipline and pushing yourself through discomfort. If you don't run, go run. And go try to run a mile in under 10 minutes.
I don't think I can.
What, just right 1 mile. Just try to run 1 mile in under 10 minutes.
I don't think I can do it right now.
You'd be a crazy. The fastest single mile I ran when I was doing that, I was doing that for about a month.
What was the first mile, probably?
The fastest single mile I ran was 11 minutes. And it was everything I had to do it in 11 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I can do it.
I had a lot of power for a short amount of time, but you carry it for much longer than 90 seconds, and I'm starting to get gassed real fast.
You know, we talked about a lot of, like, how to get over that hump of making yourself grow by being uncomfortable. Like, that's a great example, right?
Yeah.
Those of you, and I know this is a big thing, those of you that are afraid to publicly speak, dude, make yourself do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you can over, I don't know if there's any reason to this, but if you can overcome the thing that you're most afraid of, everything else after that is nil.
Yeah.
Like, we have a guy in Trade Winds that you and I both love.
Mm-hmm.
That dude will never publicly speak.
Yeah.
But if he did, can you imagine?
He'd be unstoppable.
Dude, that motherfucker could keep... he'd take both our jobs.
Yeah.
He would be fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But he's afraid.
Yeah.
I get it. Look, when we started Trade Winds, like, I can talk to anyone, and I can talk to a group of 8, no big deal, 10. And when we started having those big ones, I was like, I'm about to have to do something I don't want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start talking in front of big groups. I'm going to have to start being responsible for other people, not just myself.
Yeah.
Like, I was scared to death. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
You want to grow? You want to be different? You want to be better?
Yeah.
This is my growth moment.
Yeah.
Fucking head on, bro.
We've always got to push ourselves through that. And sometimes it'll blindside you, too. It's not the planned friction that causes people to not do things. It's the unplanned hurdles that causes people not to do things.
That's true.
Okay. So in other words, you go into something and you're like, okay, this is going to be hard and this is going to be hard and this is going to be hard. Take running, for example. I want to try to run a mile in under 10 minutes. Cool. And you're thinking, oh, it's going to be my cardio, but I want to power through and I'm well hydrated and so I'm good there and everything else. And then it's going to be like your fucking shoe keeps coming untied.
Shit.
Or some bullshit like that.
There's always a workable excuse that nature gives you to bring you down.
It's going to be the fact that you were looking at your Apple Watch to make sure you started your time and you ran off the edge of the sidewalk and rolled your ankle the 15th step into your run. And now that's why you can't do it. Like, there's always going to be this outlier thing, right? You could stop by the train because your run takes you across train tracks or something. Like, there's always going to be this outlier thing.
Did you get back up?
Yeah.
Did you try again later that day?
Exactly.
The next day.
Exactly. Unfortunately, social media has conditioned us that success is only one more quick hack away, right?
Fucking I hate social media.
And so we think, oh, it's just one more click funnel or one more AI tool or one more secret or one more automation. Businesses are still built on very boring fundamentals. And those fundamentals are put things in place that work and do them repetitively, monotonously, every fucking day.
Execute, bro. Execute.
The sexy part of business is when you get to talk about a year's worth of work in a 90-second reel. That's the sexiest part of business.
See, the sexiest part of business is going to an event with Mitch on the beach. And you work.
I am pretty sexy.
Random comment.
Yeah.
But you worked all day, or you know, you saved up the money to get to that event because your business has built something.
Right? Yeah.
And then you go and then you work and you're like, I'm about to be with like-minded people on a little bit of a vacation, a little bit of a break that my business fucking paid for.
Yeah.
That's the sexy part. But you know what gets you there? It's the mundane.
It's
boring.
It's answering the phones.
Bullshit.
Delivering excellent service over and over again. It's learning your people well. It's leading your people well. It's knowing your numbers. It's selling consistently. It's improving consistently. And then repeating that and repeating that and repeating that. Success is very fucking boring.
You'll have high months. You'll have a great job here that spurs you on. But the majority of it is boom.
Here's the problem. Failure is way more exciting than success. Everyone, this is why drama. People love drama.
You love some drama.
Well, I get into some drama. I don't necessarily love it.
Well.
But everyone loves to talk about failure because they love to play the victim. And this is where social media conditions you wrong. Okay? I can post a pic of me running. And it won't get any likes. But if I post a pic of me with a bruised, swollen, bloody ankle because I rolled it running, it'll get a whole bunch of likes. And what's that do on a micro-conditioning level for me? It tells me people like seeing me fail more than I succeed. Yeah. Right? I can post a picture of a boring but much-needed conversation, or I can post a story, a worded story, of a boring but much-needed conversation between Danielle and I in our marriage. Nobody will like it. It's boring. But how many people love to air their bad, dirty laundry on social media about their spouse or their significant other, right? And you got to, I mean, girls today are pretty predictable. When they start,
easy.
You know, you see somebody,
so are dudes.
You'll see somebody hard launch their relationship on social media. Oh, and then, and then you don't see something for the person for a while. And then all of a sudden, here come the inspirational quotes. And you know they just broke up.
Oh, dude, I don't understand that either.
It's because the negativity draws more of a response than the positivity because success is fucking boring.
I'm at the initial launch. I just love this person. I'm like, bitch, you guys have known each other. And I'm not saying woman.
Yeah.
Dude, you've known her for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because most of my guys are friends.
I get it. They're good in the sack. Anytime I see somebody hard launch a relationship, I'm like, oh, so they're fucking and they like it. Yeah.
Man, that bitch does be a baddie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's always.
She does that thing he likes.
It's always my friends that are like, they're not really outgoing. You know, they're kind of reserved. But then they're like, oh, I met this girl. She's so great. She's fucking awesome. And then you're right. I wonder what happened.
Yeah. And sure, I got quiet.
And then you go start scrolling back through. And you're right. It's like, oh, I just can't trust anyone. That's always the first
thing. Yeah.
It's like, dude, it was 2 days. You thought you were in love. Like, will you stop?
Right.
Stop putting your shit on social media, bro.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. But it's, you know, if I never bought another course, would my business still improve?
Yeah, yours.
Okay. If not, The problem is not the information.
Yeah.
So it's, you got to look at it like, what uncomfortable thing have you been avoiding in your business? That's the thing that needs the most attention in your business right now. Okay. The uncomfortable thing of like, well, I haven't been putting out content to get leads, but I like to complain about not getting a lot of leads. Okay. Put out the content, make the leads, right? And just make a commitment to put out the content. Don't even track how effective it is. Engage with everybody who engages with it, but that's it. Just quit looking at view counts for a while. It doesn't matter, right?
I don't even know how to look at view count anymore, by the way.
There you go.
Facebook changed. I can't figure it out.
So if you're struggling with, you know, firing your cancerous employee, fire them right now. Like, don't even fucking hesitate. Like, there are business owners listening to this show right now that have a cancerous employee that they've been wanting to fire for a while, but they're too uncomfortable to do it. Why? Because revenue might drop, or I might have to get back into a truck, or it's my dad, or whatever the case may be.
So my dad.
I don't care if they're cancerous.
Oh, shit.
Fire the motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
It's just that simple.
I was like, kid. God, my kid Kelly fucking sucks.
Right? Fire him. It's just that simple. Right?
Probably helping them in the long run.
But if you're struggling with raising your prices, raise them. If you're struggling with hiring, put the fucking ad out and get to hiring somebody, and don't put your fucking ego into the hiring. Hire three people knowing that only one's going to stay. Yeah. Like, figure it out, right? If you're struggling with sales, get out there and just make it happen. You don't need a sales course that you're going to ignore anyway. Yeah. Get out there, actually tune into the customer, listen to their concerns, give them three options that solve their concerns, and make a fucking sale. It's that simple, right? If you're struggling to learn financials, get in there and learn them. Ask your accountant the questions. Ask your bookkeeper the questions.
I don't want to look stupid. Who gives a fuck? You want to be broke or you want to look stupid?
I would much rather look stupid.
Yeah. With
a bank account.
Yeah. No shit.
Than to not look stupid and be broke.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, there's all these hurdles that you want to cross in business, but you're just too uncomfortable. You're too afraid to get uncomfortable to do it. And so, like, if you ask yourself, if you, like, what would happen if you spent the next 90 days implementing everything you currently know? I'm not going to add new information onto anything. I'm just going to become an implementation extraordinaire. I guarantee you, your business will be about double of what it is now if you truly implement everything you know now. If you got out of this position of like, I don't need to learn more, I need to do more.
Yeah.
So again, so many people keep asking people questions about how to solve problems because the answers they've already been told would make that they're too uncomfortable to do. Well, guess what? Business ain't comfortable.
Dude, the entrepreneurship offers that just go from one group to the next group to the next group. Guess what? They've heard all that information.
Yeah.
Maybe three times now.
Yeah. And so,
I mean, sometimes it is the way the information is delivered, right?
Yeah.
But do something with it.
Right. Don't buy another business book. Don't join another mastermind. Don't sign up for another webinar. Instead, open a notebook from the last event you attended. Implement all those ideas you wrote down. All those notes that you wrote and then ignored. Implement those. You wrote them down because they were good ideas.
Do stuff.
Yeah.
Do stuff. It's not going to all work. It's not going to all fail.
Hold on.
Do stuff. What are you doing?
I'm not leaving. I just got to get in my backpack. Hold on.
Oh, my God. This is what it's actually like being business partners with Mitch. Hey, this is what we're going to do. Then the motherfucker gets up
and
leaves the fucking room. See ya.
We're in Florida.
3 days later.
We're in Florida. And I open a notepad. And this is a notepad that I've taken.
Is this from our event here?
Yeah, from our event that we just had.
Okay.
But it had a note on it from that I wrote down from a long time ago. I don't know when I wrote this note down.
Read it to me. Like, I can't see the notes.
It says, it's short writing. It says, buy from what we understand. If we don't tell a compelling story of our 10,000-hour guarantee, they only understand price and scope of work. That was my note.
That was your note about your business.
My business.
Your employees.
So I was at some event somewhere, and I wrote this note down. And I did something with this note back then. We actually made quite a few reels explaining what our 10,000-hour guarantee is, that our guys have 10,000 hours of experience. And so, in other words, when our guys tell you you need a repair, you can rely on that more than the guy with like 3 months of sales training that was delivering packages for Amazon last year, and now he's your plumber.
Yeah. Well, right? Let's be honest, though. Like, that's one of those things that you can reiterate.
Exactly. Well, so what did I do with it? I literally took a photo of it and texted it to my manager.
Say, hey, bro.
And I said, hey, lean in on the 10,000-hour guarantee. Make sure that the guys are telling customers every. It's part of our sales process is to explain our 10,000-hour guarantee and what it actually is.
Yeah.
But again, that was me literally saying, oh, wow, there's an old note that I can re-engage in. I don't got to go learn something new. I don't got to learn something new to teach my manager.
Yeah.
I can literally just drill down on something that I did before. So, and then there's another note in the corner called the Big Job Breakdown. And this was the day where I started doing the Big Job Breakdowns in our weekly meetings.
BJPD?
And so, I'm not saying those.
BJD?
But what the Big Job Breakdown is, for those that don't know, is we will pick the largest or most important job from the last week, and we break it down as a team. And there's no right or wrong answers. We talk about what went well. We talk about what we would do differently if we had the opportunity to do it again. We talk about what made the customer happy or what made the customer upset. So these aren't just normal, like, successful jobs. These are, like, maybe we failed on a job. And we're going to talk about it together. And, like, again, the number one rule is we don't accuse anybody of doing anything wrong. We're all learning this together. But that's how we fail faster as a team. And so if somebody encounters a water heater that has a problem that nobody's ever encountered before, you owe it to your team to share that experience amongst the entire team.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go to that water heater. Like, I remember one of these was a pinched wire on a burner assembly. It was a water heater we installed. And then like 3 weeks later, the thing wouldn't run at all. And then we discovered a pinched wire during manufacturing on the burner assembly that was causing it to ground out and they couldn't communicate to the controller. And so we pass the pinched wire around and everything else and say, you never know how many of these you're going to have, but if you get one that was working fine and now it just seems completely unresponsive, pull the door and look for this.
Yeah.
Could be a widespread issue. It could be a one-off. We'll never know. You know? But like, that's what we do in our Big Job Breakdown. There's no humility. There's no pride. It's just open, candid conversation of like, what did we do wrong and what could we do better? And everything is a we in those scenarios. It's not like, well, you fucked this up when you said this to the customer. It's we could have approached the customer differently by saying this.
No, it's when we address the customer, we do it this way.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, go through your old notes and you will find 90 days worth of ideas that you need to implement. When you implement those, you're going to see more success in your business than the next seminar, the next sales training, the next mastermind, the next couple of dollars here, the next couple of dollars there.
Yeah.
Right? And if that means you got to hold off, if you were thinking about joining Tradewinds and you're going to say, well, I'll hold off, then fucking hold off. Like, we care about this enough to say, don't join Tradewinds until you're ready for a change.
Yeah.
But now that we have four levels in Tradewinds, so we have the cadet level, we have the crew level, we have the captain's level, and we have the admiral's level. And a general synopsis between those is the cadet level is all information. The crew level is information plus camaraderie with other guys that are doing it at your level. And then the captain's level brings in some accountability from David and I and Aaron. And then the admiral's level brings in a wealth of accountability, yeah, like all month long of accountability.
Yeah,
right?
People don't like that.
And so,
because it's a lot of fucking work.
It depends on how fast you can implement.
It's a lot of work.
I personally handle if somebody calls in and they want to have a phone call before they join Tradewinds, that phone call happens with me.
Yep.
And I tell everybody the exact, I never push anybody into any level. I say, you can be a $10 million company and join at the crew level if you want. You can be a one-man show and join at the admiral's level if you want. But I'll warn you that the higher up in the levels go, you're going to have to implement faster. And so the levels really depend on your ability to implement change at speed.
Yeah.
And so if you can implement change quick, if we can have, so at the admiral's level, you get two coaching calls with us a month. If we can have one coaching call with you on the first Monday of the month, and we tell you you really need to fire this person, and by the third Monday of the month during your second coaching call, you come to that call and you're like, well, I fired them and I already replaced them and they started last week and they're doing great. Well, then you're in the right level.
Yeah. But come and say, well, I was afraid to fire him.
If we talk about 3 months, what? Which is six coaching calls about firing the same person, you're not implementing fast enough, right? And so, and again, I'm not knocking anybody in trade wins when I say that. I'm just saying those are the different levels of what determines whether you're going to be successful in business or not. Are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to put in the change?
Well, those decisions and the work that you're actually doing is what is going to dictate your look.
Yeah.
Inside trade.
Yeah. There's
just fucking that.
I've gone to the same gym for 4 years now, 5 years.
5 years now.
And there are people at that gym that look the exact same, if not worse. They've been going to the gym since as long as I have. They look the exact same, if not worse, than the first day I stepped in that gym. And every time I see it, I shake my head, not in shame of them, but more like I feel compassionate, like you're wasting your fucking time here. Like, how much hours have you spent here to not even look any different, right? The gym used to do these like 90-day challenges or 6-week challenges or whatever. And
I mean, I'm assuming you're saying the pretty obvious ones, right? Like if I work out every day, dude, in 6 months, you could barely tell. Like, I just won't get big.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming you're talking about people that are like
overweight.
Yeah. Trying to.
Right.
That's what I didn't want to say.
Yeah. No, really, that's what it is, right? And I'm not shaming you for being overweight, but like, if you're going to solve the problem, solve the fucking problem.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be misery to commit to going to the gym every day, but not giving it your all, not going to the gym is not uncomfortable. Performing at the rate that's needed for change is the uncomfortable part, right?
Yeah.
Going to the gym is no different than going to the movies, especially now with your cell phone and your earbuds. You can like watch Netflix while eating bonbons and
gym bros are so weird.
I know it's weird, right? But like, I feel bad for them that they've wasted all this time and they're getting nowhere with their results, right? But this gym used to do like these 6-week challenges, and maybe they still do. I don't know. But the same people would enter the challenges every time, and they would lose the same weight every time, and then they put it back on, and then they would always have these transformational photos. And it's like there are people at this gym right now that have like a before photo and an after photo on the wall in the gym. And that photo is 2 years old, 3 years old. And you go look at them, and they look exactly like the before photo now.
Yeah.
And I get that we all go through struggles and we all go through things. But like, there's still a maintaining level. Like, there's a new level of discipline that you cross that you'll never return from. You'll never go back to the old way.
Yeah.
That's business growth, right? You're going to get smacked in the face with business, and you're going to be a $300,000 a year business person, and you're going to grow to a $3 million a year business person. You will never be the $300,000 a year business person ever again.
No.
Your mentality never goes back, right?
Yeah.
If it does, then the business was outgrowing you. And it was that momentary thing where the business outgrew you. You had no control over it, even though you thought you did, and everything spoiled out of control.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happens.
Happens a lot. But ultimately, the purpose of this show is to say, if you want the results, you got to put in the work. You got to do it.
Yeah.
It's nobody else is going to do it for you. Your coach can't implement the change for you. Your personal trainer can't do the push-up for you. Your dietitian can't smack the donut out of your mouth. Like,
the only thing I will say about the mastermind, and we're going to wrap this show up, one of the glaringly good things that we see inside of treatments is the mastermind side, the camaraderie side, inside of Tradewinds will hold you up when you're trying to make those difficult decisions and you need someone to lean on that's not you or I.
Yeah. Yeah. When you got that.
The guys, they have these small groups, they'll call each other and we get reports, you know, hey, just wanted to let you know this guy's going through this, X, Y, Z, or whatever. And they'll say, yeah, he called me and we talked about this and blah, blah, blah. And I think he's going to make it and push through.
Yeah.
That part of it is kind of one of the unsung little side deals inside of the masterminds.
Yeah.
But those are not in everyone. I'm not tooting Tradewinds horn or anything like that.
Absolutely in Tradewinds.
But our culture in our group is fucking fantastic. It's that way on purpose.
Yeah.
We didn't realize that we were building that when we started, but after year one, you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend an enormous amount of money an effort to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Because we know that the real strength of the group is the other guys in the group that when they need someone to lean on,
yep.
There's not one guy there. There's not two guys there. There's not three girls there. There's fucking 10 people they can call and say, dude, I'm losing my mind right now.
Yep.
I don't know what the fuck to do. They'll call one.
Yeah.
They'll call the other. They'll call another. And it helps them push through that wall.
Yep.
Of not wanting to grow and get them through whatever difficult time it is that they're going through.
Yep.
And that is one of the things that Ab said this on the show fucking 100 times. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Until after a year in, and you're like, holy fuck.
If you're in a group,
what these guys are doing.
If you're in a group right now and you feel like you're an individual in a big group of people and you don't feel a sense of community, you're probably in the wrong group. The purpose of a mastermind is to be around like-minded individuals. And if everyone puts up these silos and these walls and this whole pretentious bullshit of like, I'm better than you. I'm not telling you what I charge, or I'm posting anonymous. Like, we have anonymous posting turned off in our group.
Fuck that.
Because, yeah.
You bet, bro.
Like, if you're in any kind of a group like that, you need to get in a different group. That group is hurting you. Yeah. You need to be in a group where people in the group are going to recognize, hey, bro ain't doing so well. Bro didn't have his camera on in the Zoom call, or bro seems distracted, or based off of that post, it seems like he might be down. And there's people in the group that are going to reach out to you and say, like,
call him, be like, hey, buddy,
do I need to carry the bag for a little while? Yeah. Like, do you need a rest? Do you need some words of inspiration? Yeah. Right. And so that is one of the really cool things with Tradewinds. But I will say,
we'll kick motherfuckers out, dude.
Yeah.
If you're a fucking cancer in our group, you're gone. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you want your last 2 months? Here's your money.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
We don't need the money.
See you, bro.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. We're very proud of that. One of the coolest things that we get in Tradewinds is we'll have people that come to us that have been in other groups. And they'll tell us, like, wow, I've learned more in the first month of Tradewinds than I did in a year of this other group. Or I've made more friends in the first month of Tradewinds than I did in a year of this other group.
They're not acquaintances.
Friends.
They go see each other.
They vacation families together. 1,000 miles away.
I know. It's crazy.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. It's just... blows my mind.
Yeah. So
blows my mind.
But be like, if you're looking at, like, here, I mean, I told you, don't buy another business book. Don't join another mastermind. Don't sign up for a webinar. Instead, open your notes and do all the notes that you took from the last event or the last video or the last webinar or the last YouTube video or whatever the case may be. Do that and execute that until it's working at a high level. Once you've done that, now you know what it takes to take the information from the books, from the masterminds, from the webinars. Now you know what it takes to actually use that information for good. So just like, you know, tons of people read the Bible, and it doesn't, like, just reading the Bible alone ain't going to make you a good, godly person.
You're still a heathen motherfucker.
Right. So you got to be able to do the task.
In act.
Right. And so just because you read the plumbing code book doesn't make you a plumber. Just because you read a book on leadership doesn't make you a leader. Just because you read a sales book doesn't make you a sales guy. It's the reps. Got to put in the reps. So, that's all I got. So if this show brought you value, if it made you think of things in a different way, if you know of somebody that needs to hear this show, please do us a favor and share this show with other people that need it. Also, if you see people struggling with general business stuff, feel free to drop the void on suggestions on Facebook or whatever. If you're in your Facebook groups and you see somebody saying, hey, how do I struggle with this in business or whatever? Oh, follow the void. You know, like, we would really, really appreciate that. David and I don't get paid for this show. So, you know, your sharing of the show is basically payment enough. So, until next week, guys, we will see you.
See you.